This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, May 23rd. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. For the last 13 years, as the stock market soared, investors have poured huge sums of money into startups, from the seed level to pre-IPO. Now the party seems to be over. Investors are closing their wallets and asking companies they invest in to tighten their belts. So what does this mean for all those startups that received a huge influx of capital, and for those that may still need to raise money? On today's show, WSJ reporter Heather Somerville, who covers venture capital investing, joins us to discuss why funding is drying up and what happens next. That's after these headlines. We report exclusively that Apple is looking to boost production outside of China. Sites in India and Vietnam, where the iPhone maker does some production, are getting a closer look, according to people involved with the discussions. Sources say Beijing's strict anti-COVID policy with lockdowns in cities like Shanghai has led to Apple's decision, among other reasons. More than 90% of Apple products are manufactured in China by outside contractors. An Apple spokesman declined to comment. Canada is banning telecommunications equipment made by China's Huawei and ZTE from being used in the country's 5G network. The decision follows a nearly four-year security review that was disrupted by geopolitical tensions between the two countries. Washington has pressed Canada for years to keep equipment from these companies out of its networks, warning it could provide the Chinese government with a backdoor for espionage. The companies say they aren't beholden to the Chinese government and don't use their gear to spy. Match Group, the company behind dating services like Tinder and OkCupid, has reached a deal with Google that will keep its brands on Google's App Store and allow them to use their own payment systems. For now. It's the latest twist in an ongoing legal battle between the companies. Earlier this month, Match sued the search giant, arguing that fees Google takes for payments outside the App Store are illegal. Google calls that allegation unfounded. Match said it put $40 million into an escrow account instead of paying Google directly until there's a ruling on its claims. A trial is set for April of next year. All right, coming up, recork the bottles and put the balloons away. The party is over for startup funding. We'll discuss why and what's next after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Over the last decade, investors have poured $1.3 trillion into startups. That funding spree produced more than 1,600 so-called unicorns, companies with valuations over $1 billion, which in turn attracted interest from investors that don't typically put money into startups. We're talking about top-tier hedge funds and pension funds. But those days seem to be coming to a close. Investors are pulling back, and startups are being forced to trim back their spending. Joining us to discuss why this is happening now and what it means for startups and investors is our reporter Heather Somerville. Hi, Heather. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Zoe.
So we know interest rates are rising, inflation is up, that's affecting a lot of sectors. What companies are being affected, and how is that changing the conversation they're having with investors?
It's changing everything. This broader market correction that's hit tech stocks particularly badly has really affected startups of all sizes and at all stages. You know, we're hearing about very late stage, larger, more mature startups really being affected by declines in valuations and investors souring on their businesses. all the way down to the seed stage, the earliest stage startups, which are just a couple people really having to refine how much money they're asking for and what valuations they want in order to get investor interest.
And so what are investors asking startups for, and how are startups having to meet that?
So for startups that have already raised some capital over the last few years, their number one mission right now is to spend as little of it as possible, keep as much in the bank as they can. And the reason for that is that this is not a good climate for them to go back out and fundraise. If they do, they're likely going to suffer a valuation cut, which is embarrassing for one, also creates all sorts of problems with retaining employees and creates problems with investors. They don't want to do that. So investors are scrutinizing gross margins in a way they really haven't for years. I mean, before it was just grow, 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 hire, hire, acquire other companies, keep going. And now investors are really scrutinizing margins and the functionality of a business, which seems obvious, but it really hasn't been front and center for a couple years. So what some startups are doing to respond to that is really foremost layoffs. It's been hiring freezes. I mean, payroll really is the number one expense for tech companies. Engineers are quite expensive. They're also looking to outsource more of their employees to places like Latin America, where talent is cheaper than it is in the Bay Area. There's also all sorts of other strategies startups are using. There's certainly been a pause on acquisitions. There's been a pause on various sorts of engineering projects and other products that were being developed. And one startup founder joked to me, I think it was kind of a half joke, that, well, if things got bad enough, he might swap out his fancy Whole Foods snacks in the office for Costco bulk goods, which doesn't really move the needle when you're paying Silicon Valley software engineers. But it kind of gets to the point that it's really about watching every dollar that goes out the door and making sure it's going to the right place.
I mean, but don't these companies have, you know, a lot of money? Isn't that the whole point, that they raised so much capital? So shouldn't they have a cushion to rely on?
They absolutely should, and some do. You're right, Zoe. They raised record sums of money over the past 2 years during this pandemic-fueled tech frenzy that's been happening. And so a lot of them took advantage of the piping hot market and put a ton of money in the bank. And so they should be okay if they make the proper corrections to their spending now. Others spend a heck of a lot of money on advertising, on acquiring customers, on acquiring other companies, trying to beat out the competition. And there's a lot of startups that have business models that are not profitable. Rapid delivery, for instance, there's a bunch of startups that deliver goods to your front door in just a few minutes. These are really high loss-making companies. So companies like that, that maybe they raised some money, maybe they spent it all already or still need more, they're resorting to things like insider rounds, which is when you go back to your existing investors, ask for more money, but you're not getting that much and you're not getting a higher valuation. They're asking for various types of debt to take on. And they're going into financing rounds, making more concessions to investors, things we haven't seen for 5 years, such as telling investors, we will guarantee you that you will be made whole even if our valuation declines.
Given this pullback, who are startups turning to now when they need new funds?
I think that is absolutely the question that is top of mind, because it's not clear where some of them can go for money. What we call non-traditional investors, a hedge fund, sovereign wealth fund, a pension fund, those have become huge players in startups over the past few years. And they were the first ones to exit when the market turned. And they're really not there on the same number anymore. So more of them are going to traditional venture capitalists. So I think it is a looming question on where does the next check come from if you are planning on going back to some of these investors that, as of the last couple of months, have really fled venture capital and fled startups.
Give us some historical context for this, though, because we've seen pullbacks before. You know, how is it different this time?
Yeah, we have. We talk about a 13-year bull run in startups, which is mostly true in that things have continuously gone on an annual basis up and to the right. But there have been dips. There have been moments of bear markets. My sense is, from my reporting, there is a widely held belief that this is a more durable correction. This is more of an official change in the cycle, a demarcation in this 13-year bull run. And I think people believe that because there are these macro forces that startups haven't had to deal with in more than a decade, those being rising interest rates, 8% plus inflation, a geopolitical situation that is, you know, just really bewildering and challenging everybody in all sorts of industries. And I think that there's a sense that this correction is going to be longer lasting and a bit more severe than some of the more recent pullbacks, because there are recessionary factors at work here in the economy. Although I do hear that people are not talking about another 2001.com bubble bursting scenario, because tech is just so much more embedded in our lives. It's such a bigger and more capital rich industry than it ever was. I think what we're looking at is more moderation, fewer companies in a particular sector. Some will survive, some will go out of business. Some of these companies will have a smaller headcount because they'll have layoffs. Some of them will, you know, scale back some of their ambitions. So a bit more moderation. But most people would say moderation is probably pretty healthy for this sector at this point, after the last couple of years of just kind of an outrageous amount of capital flooding into the industry.
All right, that's our reporter, Heather Somerville. Thanks so much for joining us, Heather.
Thank you, Zoe.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.